Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How would you like to be a Christian living in Ukraine? This is Wretched Radio. We have tens of thousands of brothers and sisters who are living in Ukraine right now. What is life like for them? Joining us to describe what it is like to be a believer in Ukraine happens to be a believer in Ukraine. Max and I met, give or take, 15 years ago when I went to Kyiv to tour around Ukraine visiting the Tomorrow Clubs. Max is a part of the Tomorrow Clubs. He acted as my interpreter. We became buds. He's visited us in the States, and right now he is in an undisclosed location in Ukraine, and he is going to share with us what it is like to be a civilian living in a country that is being invaded by a great big bear. Max, I'm very glad that you and your family are safe. You had to leave your home, correct?
Yes, we had to leave home right away.
So you were able to move into the western side of Ukraine. My understanding, yes, Max, is that the west is relatively peaceful. It's the eastern side of Ukraine that is being invaded.
It's peaceful, but the alarms, the sirens are going off constantly because drones are periodically cross the airspace from Russia.
And do you now, where you are at, hear explosions?
I don't hear explosions, but I hear sirens.
What about when you were in Kyiv? Were you hearing explosions then?
Absolutely. I got up early in the morning 7 days ago. I think it was 4 a.m. I got up from hearing a big explosion. My house is not far from the military base. My house was just literally shaking and windows were vibrating. So I immediately knew that, you know, it took me a little time to figure out, but I knew this is Russia started attacking Ukraine. So we packed our stuff, everything we could, and we hit the road. Unfortunately, I had to say goodbye to my family. My parents did not want to leave. They wanted to stay, and, you know, it's heartbreaking for me. But, you know, it took us about 40 hours, typically 6 hours, to get to Western Ukraine. We stuck on the road, and we had to go the back roads, back ways, in order to get here where we are now.
And it took 40 hours with your family to get to a safe place. Max,
yeah,
your story with your family being separated, it is not the only one. That is one of the unreported stories of Ukraine. Families are being divided all over the place, aren't they?
Absolutely. And it's heartbreaking knowing that cities, you know, places where our parents, our brothers and sisters decided to stay, our friends are being bombed now. It breaks our hearts.
Yeah, we can only imagine. Max, you are currently safe, and that's great. What are the odds that people on the streets believe that it will either be a half takeover, an attempt to take over half of Ukraine, or does Vladimir Putin want the entire country?
Well, of course, I think Putin would like to have entire country, but I'm not sure if he can do that right now. Because if we look at the situation right now, he was going to invade Ukraine and take it over entirely in 48 hours. But today, it's the seventh day of the invasion, and he didn't progress that much, which is a miracle, to be honest with you.
Well, that's a huge blessing. So we'll wait and see what he tries to do. I have to tell you, the response of the international community has been rather interesting to me because there are a lot of organizations in the United States that have just decided to not do business with Russia anymore. So even businesses are very sympathetic toward Ukraine right now, which is excellent in my opinion. Speaking of businesses, how easy is it to get food, water, and a shower?
Well, in place where I live right now, it's okay. But like back where in Kyiv and in Kharkiv, when the infrastructure was destroyed, there's food shortage, there's electricity shortage or no electricity, and stores are empty, there's no food. And I don't know, people just live on whatever they had before.
So no doubt, Max, you're a husband and a father. Describe for us how you are processing this, thinking about this, and how you are dealing with the safety of your family.
Well, it's been really hard on us because, first of all, we lived for the first day. We just tried to live in complete denial that such thing could have ever happened to a peaceful nation like Ukraine, because Ukraine was never going to attack anyone. And for us, we just could not believe it. But now we realize it's happening. And Vika, my wife, and myself, for the last 7 days, we barely slept because we just stay on our phones and try to call our families to make sure they're right. So it's a constant stress. And the only relief that we have is when we kneel down and pray to God and seek His face and ask His protection. And, you know, that grants us some peace. And one thing I can tell you for sure, we will never be the same again after what we experienced in the last 7 days.
In what way?
The whole perspective of life, the whole perspective, they are, you know, just looking at, treating other people, looking at the situation overall in the world, and the values completely changed. Life, that's what matters now. We left everything at home. We invested our time and efforts in our house. It was small, it was pretty, and we loved it, and we just had to leave it behind.
And suddenly, what's most important is what you're focusing on. So the Lord no doubt uses these things to draw us closer to Himself, to help us maybe realign our priorities. Having said that,
absolutely,
being a dad who's trying to make sure his family is safe, I think you said it exactly right. It's just you're in perpetual alarm mode, and that can be really exhausting. We're on the telephone, Max from Ukraine. He's our buddy from Tomorrow Clubs. If you would be so kind, Max, tell me about the Tomorrow Clubs. There are hundreds of them in Ukraine. I can't imagine any of them are operating at the moment.
Well, to be honest with you, some operating to this day in Western Ukraine because the situation is evolving. But Eastern Ukraine and Central Ukraine, nothing is happening right now. So everything is in a hold mode. And it for me, it's a tragedy because I have invested pretty much, I don't know, half of my life to Tomorrow Clubs. And, you know, all these 17,000 kids that we were reaching every year and all these kids that grew up. And now, honestly, I pray for everyone, you know, talk to coordinators who are still there. A lot of them are, most of them actually stay where they are now. So, and they're really at risk. So that even adds up to that, you know, alarm mode, just like you described. So that, you know, I'm praying that God would keep them safe, and I'm hoping that this war would be finished. You know, we would meet again.
Yeah, no, I'm confident of that. Max, the last number I saw was, no death is low, but the number was about a couple hundred people died. Has that number fluctuated much?
Todd, you need to understand, this is what the official statistics say, but I believe there is more than that. Media is trying to underestimate so people would not panic.
All right. So, Max, tell us two things. How can we pray for y'all and how can we help the Tomorrow Clubs?
Right now, probably our biggest prayer request is that God would, you know, to this day, it's a, if you want to call it a miracle, it is a miracle that we were holding on for 7 days in a row. And Russia, you know, with the oldest their might and army, was not able to take over not even one big city to this very day. And it's a miracle. And that's because I believe that there's thousands of Christians are praying around the world right
now. I agree.
And I want to ask, do not stop praying. Because what's happening right now, you know, you may be surprised that a lot of Russians are surrendering. A lot of Russians, they don't want to fight. They just run to the forest, leaving their ammunition and their vehicles behind. And my second prayer request,
right.
Tomorrow Clubs, the biggest need, there's a lot of refugees. And our Tomorrow Club leaders in the West right now are trying to meet the needs. Right now we have food, medication, care packages, and believe it or not, mattresses, because there's no, people don't have in their homes place to put the people. And, you know, it's everything we can use, we're using right now when we're trying to meet the needs of those families who had to escape the war indeed.
And that's not typically Tomorrow Club's focus. You're not a humanitarian ministry, but you are now.
our focus was children evangelism and spreading the good news and helping kids learn to follow the gospel, you know, to become like Christ. And right now, we're recognizing the need. We have to walk away from that and really serve those families, because a lot of those families come from non-believer families. They're not believers. And here, believers meeting them, serving them, and, you know, showing them the love of Christ. I think it's first of all, it's a good opportunity to show Christ to them in this time of trial.
If you can support the Tomorrow Clubs, this would be a good time. I know that Paul is working on trying to coordinate efforts to get people food and mattresses and medication. If you'd be kind enough to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, the gospel is still being preached, but we got to be praying that safety will come soon so that the Tomorrow Clubs can open and serve all of the kids that attend Tomorrow Clubs hearing the gospel. So let's be praying for Max. If you can support Tomorrow Clubs, that would be most excellent. They are an efficient ministry and they'll do everything they can to help in any way that they can. Max, I'm glad that you and your family are safe, brother. We love you guys. We're really grateful for what you do. All right, so stay safe. All right, brother?
Thank you.
That is Maxime from the Tomorrow Clubs in Ukraine. What is it like to be a Christian in Ukraine today? This is Wretched Radio. Hey, Tomorrow Club supporter, this message from Paul Marty, the director of the Tomorrow Clubs, is just for you.
You know, it's been more than 25 years now since my wife Cindy first brought leaders and kids together for the very first Tomorrow Club. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been touched. We're grateful for all the ways you help kids in forsaken places learn to follow Jesus.
Thank you for your support of the Tomorrow Club's $30 a month Disciples 30 Kids in Eastern Europe and now in Africa, where Tomorrow Clubs anticipates they could be opening up 100 new clubs in a year. Would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? Kids clubs that meet in forsaken places, they get loved on, they hear the gospel, they memorize Bible verses, and they're getting saved. To support your own Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Question, do you also watch TV? All right, don't mock me. That's a legitimate question because some Christians don't, and that's okay. But I did want you to remember that Wretched is also on TV. 135 Christian networks, to be exact. Wretched TV is hosted, of course, by Todd Friel and is a daily 30-minute program containing live witnessing encounters and conversations about tough theology stuff. You can find us on TV, our website, wretched.org/TV, and also on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. And it's only possible by the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can help us continue making Wretched available to everyone and also help us in our mission to reach the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Find out how you can become a Wretched gospel partner just by visiting wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Permit me to introduce you to Bree and Salvation Domino's Preborn Style.
When one person gets saved, they have that burning desire to just make him known the same way that was made known to them. And then it's just this domino effect.
Bree currently volunteers at a preborn life center. How did she get saved? From a friend whose mother got saved at, you guessed it, a preborn life center. Why? Because preborn, it is indeed about saving babies' lives via $28 ultrasounds, but it is also sharing the gospel so that moms and dads get saved. And look at the domino effect. Would you please consider supporting preborn centers with as many free ultrasounds as you can? $28 for an ultrasound 80% of the time saves a life. Learn more at preborn.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland, a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, then, that tune changed. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you were hearing us interview Maxim Slivka from Tomorrow Clubs in Ukraine, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. And Max was describing what it's like to be a Christian in Ukraine. And he was, I think, giving the facts, stating this is what's happening. The bombs are going off. This is what parts of the country are under assault. And he gave us the information that we were hoping to hear. But then we ended the phone call. Jimmy, you kept recording, didn't you?
I did.
Because that's just what you, that's just standard. You just keep recording. And that's when we heard Max's heart. That's when Max kind of let down his guard and shared how he's really doing and what it is like to be a believer in Ukraine. I'd like to share that with you now, because earlier from Max, you heard the facts. Now you're going to hear the heart of a man who's a believer in Ukraine, trying to protect his family, worried about the church because there has been so much active growth in the Ukrainian church. And this man's heart is broken, and I think you're about to hear that.
So I forgot to mention, please pray for just to tell you what's happening. Maybe you don't hear this news. But Russians, what they're trying to do right now, they were not able to break through. What they're doing right now, they launch, it's called hail rocket systems on the cities that actually mm-hmm. level and burn the cities to the ground.
Yes.
So they were not able to fight the Ukrainian army forces. So now they're launching rockets and they're targeting hospitals, they're targeting kindergartens, schools, and just apartments where people live. If you look up on, go to Google, look up Kharkiv, the city is devastated. I know, the eastern cities were, if you look at Kharkiv, Zaporozhye, if you look, look up Bucha, Kyiv, they just hit, there was a rocket, maybe you've seen it on TV, hit the high-rise apartment right in the middle. So now they're trying to kind of create some kind of panic and, this way kind of take over, mentally win Ukrainians. That's what they're trying to do. It's their tactic used, in Georgia, when there was conflict in Georgia, the same tactic in Syria. The pattern is the same. But, and when you look at that, really, my heart is so broken. I kneel down. I spend more time on my knees than ever before. And I just cry to God. And I say, God, please, you bless this nation. There's so many believers. And right now they've been serving. They've already been going to other nations. And now we are having this evil. It's evil. It's the war between the good and the evil. And to do what they're doing, to me, I just cannot take it. I cannot understand this. So that's why I think right now we should pray, because, you see, every night we go to bed and we just pray and pray and pray. And, we're thinking, when we wake up tomorrow, will we wake up in the same country or will we no country at all?
Mm-hmm.
So we wake up in the morning and read news where the city is still around. Our army is kind of holding. People are still there. Our relatives are still alive. And this is the first thing that we do, call our families to find out if they're okay. So this is kind of the mode we're living every single day.
That helped us, didn't it? Incidentally, when Max suggested we Google, I will butcher this, Kharkiv. It has a K in front, Kharkiv, Ukraine. And the first thing that you're going to see is just rubble. Beautiful buildings that are just being bombed and decimated. The Russians don't appear to be able to conquer the Ukrainian army. And so they're just trying to wreak havoc by bombing cities, by bombing hospitals, by bombing grade schools entirely indiscriminate to invoke terror into the Ukrainian people. You might not be seeing that on MSNBC, but then again, you're a Christian and you don't watch MSNBC. Please be praying for the Tomorrow Clubs, please. And support them if you can at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Jimmy, tell me how uncommon that phenomenon is that we just heard. When somebody's talking, usually before the interview, they've got a particular tone, and then the interview starts and the tone changes.
Absolutely.
We kind of got the flip-flop with Max here.
That's right.
Yeah. We're talking, interviewing, and it's he's being very casual and talking about the issues and giving us the facts. Then the microphone went off, and we actually heard him and his heart. It is broken. I think that we need to have a global understanding of what Jesus is doing. He's building his church. I can't tell you the country that this was in, but I just saw a video. They said, don't release this because it'll get people in trouble. It happens to be in a country where Christians aren't welcome. It's very difficult. You can probably guess the religion that makes them feel that way. And they were showing pictures of the Masters Academy International and pastors that are gathered together to learn how to rightly divide the word of God. And I was like, wow, Jesus is doing that in that country? I mean, there's stuff going on there. And there's stuff going on around the globe. And there are believers in Ukraine, a lot of believers in Ukraine. When I heard John MacArthur say that they've trained, I think, at least 1,000 pastors in Ukraine through the Masters Academy International in Ukraine, and knowing that there are 17,000 kids that gather every week with the Tomorrow Clubs, I got to tell you, I was encouraged and then really sad for all of the believers that are there. If you think we're having supply line issues, and supposedly we are, what's causing it? But what's happening in Ukraine right now, and believers just getting sustenance, medication, the basic necessities of life. They're living in places where the toilets get bombed and the sewer system doesn't work. It's hard. So be praying for our brothers and sisters, and that freedom will reign so that the gospel can just keep going forward without oppression, without being put in jail. That's our Christian brothers and sisters in China, where Jesus is currently working. This is why Jimmy and I probably encourage you to pray for our brothers and sisters overseas more than just about anything else. It's hard over there. And this is a reminder to us. When Max said, we didn't expect this. We never thought this would happen. Ukraine has been free for 30 years. They've got highways and they've got cell phone towers. And they've got jobs, and they go about their lives with being able to say whatever they want to, something we used to be able to do here in the States. And then they get invaded. God isn't playing geopolitics. He's playing geo-church. And he is doing what he desires to do to bring him the most glory. And there are times when he can do things that bring difficulties into the lives of his children. We're starting to sense how that could happen more than ever, aren't we? If you had asked me about that sensation 10 years ago, I would have been like, America, we're fine. It could turn on a dime, and that is why having the doctrine of sovereignty firmly embedded into your heart and mind before difficulties strike is so crucial. If you wait for the difficult event to deal with the issue of sovereignty and God's goodness, you can't divorce the one from the other. Otherwise, you're going to be scared. Because if God is sovereign, he does whatever he wants to do. If he ain't good, we should be terrified. But he is good, and that means everything he does, even for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, it's for their good. Now, how hard is it to find comfort in that when you're hearing bombs going off around you? It's a little trickier. And that is why you should have this theology firmly embedded into your thinking before the tragedy strikes. It might not be a nation collapsing. It could be your health crumbling. It could be your children abandoning you. Before it happens, remember, God is sovereign. He is not responding to the needs of his children. No, he's orchestrating and ordaining everything. And he will use sin sinlessly to bring about his glorious end. And along the way, not just the result, but along the way, it will be for our good. Let's be praying that our brothers and sisters in Ukraine will find comfort in that. And let's use this as an opportunity. Maybe spend some time with the family talking about the doctrine of sovereignty and God's goodness. Because you never know when this might happen to us. This is Wretched Radio.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate his character and will. God has not hidden his will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oodles, there are oodles of wrong ways to read your Bible. We're just going to look at 10. This is Wretched Radio. Wow, the variety of hermeneutics we have these days in Christendom where people interpret the Bible pretty much any way that they want to. Well, there's rules to this game called reading the Bible. We want to understand the author's intention. What did he want to communicate? Not what do I want to hear? Jimmy, don't mention names.
Okay.
But you were just listening to some clips of a very famous female preacher.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right? You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yes. Uh-huh.
And she was preparing for her Sunday morning Bible study, and she said what?
I spend so much time gathering stories, but then I just try to find the right scripture to use with the stories.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got my stories together. Mm. I just need to go find some Bible verses now to support it. She said it out loud.
She did. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And yet, that isn't uncommon. The way that we read our Bible, the way that we study it, we don't come up with our ideas and then go looking for a proof text. We want to know God's ideas. So for your consideration, 10 wrong ways to read the Bible. This comes from a list. Hold on, Henrietta. Let me find my cheaters here. From Christianity.com. Christianity.com. You got the warm fuzzies approach, reading the Bible for a glowing subjective experience of God ignited by the words of the text, whether we understand what they actually mean or not. Result, frothy reading. That's true. I just want to. And so you go, read the Bible for that reason. Now, you can go read the Bible for comfort, encouragement, exhortation, rebuke. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but it shouldn't be your hermeneutic. Number two, you got the grumpy approach, reading the Bible out of nothing but a vague sense of what we're supposed to do to get God off of our backs for the day. That's not what you want to be doing. That's kind of Pharisaical reading too, isn't it? The gold mine approach, reading the Bible as a vast, cavernous, dark mine in which one occasionally stumbles upon a nugget of inspiration. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The whole thing is a treasure chest. There's just a bunch of different jewels scattered throughout it. And you will find them regularly if you read the Bible rightly. Number four, you got the hero approach. Reading the Bible as a moral hall of fame that gives us one example after another of heroic spiritual giants to emulate. Who's the Goliath in your life? Number six, the Indiana Jones approach, reading the Bible as an ancient document about events in the Middle East a few thousand years ago that are irrelevant to my life today. Hey, I could add one to this. How's about the Gog Magog approach? Have you seen those stories proliferating thanks to Russia invading Ukraine? Lots of people. They've got the Book of Revelation open in their right hand. They've got their social media source in their left hand, and they're smushing the two together. And I have seen unbelievable application of the book of Revelation, because apparently there are some who believe that Russia is Gog, Ukraine is Magog. Others believe that Russia is Magog and Ukraine is Gog. So there's varying interpretations, which should be expected because the hermeneutic is off. Don't read Revelation that way. Don't look at current events and go, hey, that's going on in the Bible. Hey, that's not why the book was written. It is a book of comfort written to persecuted Christians to let them know Jesus has this. He's in control. He is reigning. He's coming back. And justice will rule because he is going to be our benevolent king. That's the message of Revelation. And as long as we've brought up the subject, and when I say we, I mean I have brought up the subject of end times and reading the end times, please consider this. Rather than looking at Jesus' descriptors of what's going to happen in the end times, let those descriptors remind you that Jesus is coming back. Rather than reading, oh, there's rumors of war, there's war and rumors of war. That's what's going on in Russia right now. Well, in a sense, of course, it is, because there's always going to be that. But that's we shouldn't be looking at Russia and Ukraine or any other skirmish that is going on. World Wars I or II, I'll bet a lot of people did a lot of Gogging and Magogging with that. And they then went to Revelation, or they heard Jesus say there's going to be wars and rumors of war. That's it. He's on his way. No, that's not the way to read signs of the times. It is to read them and go, every time I see a war, I'm going to be reminded Jesus is coming back. Every time I see people acting coldly toward one another, okay, Jesus is coming back. Vengeance is it. He's going to deal with this mess. That is how we should read the signs, not by using Revelation as some sort of grid to interpret current events. You got the magic eight ball approach, reading the Bible as a roadmap to tell me where to work, whom to marry, what car to buy. There's a better approach to making decisions, and it does involve reading your Bible, but it's not looking for hints. I mean, how silly. Let's just imagine what the God, and I mean small g God, would have to be like if he had little nuggets written in the Bible. And you and I, like we're going on a treasure hunt without any clues. We gotta find them in there, Jimmy. You might have married the wrong woman. That means you got the wrong kids, buddy.
I knew it all along.
Did you? Well, if you read your Bible this way, you might conclude that, but it's not the way to read the Bible. And God would have to be, what kind of a God who loves his children wouldn't give them a way to figure out how he wants them to live? Hiding little nuggets? Well, I was trying to figure out who to marry, and I kind of dig a couple of chicks, Beth and Hannah. I don't know where those names came from. Beth and Hannah. So apparently we're talking about somebody who's a septuagenarian. Beth and Hannah, and this is the way he still talks like a teenager, apparently. So I really dig Beth and Hannah. And so I'm reading my Bible, and I was reading about David. And then it's called the House of David. And David was a good guy, right? So, like, I read the footnotes. And the word for house, as in House of David, is Beth. I'm marrying Beth. We're going to build a home together. If you think that's preposterous, it's not. God would have to be rather silly to communicate that way. Not a very good communicator, but he did communicate clearly, and we can know what we're supposed to be doing if we will read our Bibles rightly. Jimmy, normally I would throw in a plug for Herman Hu, available at wretched.org, but not today. Okay. The Aesop's Fables approach, reading the Bible as a loose collection of nice stories strung together independently, each with a nice moral at the end. The doctrine approach, reading the Bible as a theological repository to plunder for ammunition for our next theology debate at Starbucks. That ain't the way that we're supposed to be reading the Bible. And I'm afraid
that hit a lot of us right between the eyes.
I get that one. That one. The other ones are like, yeah, guffaw, funny. Yeah, I do that. Or you find something and you go, I did that last night, by the way. I was reading the book of James. All right. again, it's good to read the Bible to come up with, to know stuff and to understand God better. Perfectly fine and well. But you don't want to be using it as a weapon and amassing your knowledge just so you can fire some missiles. So the book of James starts out, you guys are dispersed and you should count it all joy. What? And then we get to chapter 5. So he's just been talking about how to live a godly life when you're being persecuted. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently. You also should be patient. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. And then I stopped and I went, Yeah, that's what I hear these days. A lot of grumbling with problem with the president and the Congress and everything else that's haywire here. And we can talk about that stuff, but we can't grumble about that stuff. So one of my inclinations in hearing that is, yeah, I could. Next time I hear somebody grumble, I can use that. Wrong. Not the right way to read the Bible.
So you were going to grumble about the grumbling.
Pretty much, yeah. Martin Luther said, he who would correctly and profitably read Scripture should see to it that he finds Christ in it. Want to be careful. We don't want to be Christological in the old-fashioned way either, where you find him in every verse, but he is in every book. Then he finds eternal life without fail. On the other hand, if I do not study and understand Moses and the prophets as to find that Christ came from heaven for the sake of my salvation, became man, suffered, died, and was buried, ascended into heaven, forgiveness of sins, then my reading in Scripture is of no help whatsoever to my salvation. Let's be careful that we don't go find Jesus hidden everywhere, because that's not the way the Bible is written. But remember what Jesus said, you read Moses and the prophets because you think that you are going to learn how to inherit eternal life. I tell you, they testify about me. If you've been reading your Bible wrongly, perhaps not growing, and perhaps your heart is not as warm as it once was, make sure that you are reading the Bible and always asking the question, what can I learn about Jesus? This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad looking kid. Now seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
I want to share with you voicemails we receive nearly daily here at Wretched.
I can't believe how many times a day I catch myself saying, Todd Friel on Wretched Radio says,
I have been transformed by your program.
We are grateful to hear the testimonies of our listeners and our viewers, and we want you to also hear the lives that are being impacted by you, our gospel partners. These testimonies aren't about Todd. They're not about Wretched Radio or TV. We wouldn't be able to do the things that we do at Wretched without the support of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today if you aren't already? Help us to reach the lost all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because ultimately the glory is all His. It's not Wretched's. It's not even yours. But it is your efforts that help make our efforts possible. And all of those efforts are to the praise and glory of God alone. Get complete details right now at wretched.org/donate.
So there you are on your Googler machine trying to find a restaurant. What do you look for? Ratings and reviews. If it gets lots of stars, positive reviews, chances are pretty good you're going to go there. Question, would you be inclined to go to a restaurant that had a 98% approval rating and rave reviews? I suspect you would. MediShare, Affordable Biblical Health Sharing has a 98% approval rating. 400,000 members strong, sharing one another's healthcare bills, saving billions of dollars over the years, saving families on average $500 a month. And 98% of the members of MediShare give it a hearty thumbs up. I encourage you to call them and see if MediShare is right for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Watch this come full circle. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, if you would be so kind, give or take about 5 minutes before the end of the segment, would you kindly interrupt me, no matter what I'm saying, and encourage me to share this particular article, which should convict us all and bring us full circle from where we started. In the meantime, let's travel around the globe. This one might surprise you. Okay, the story won't, but the commentary might. In Australia, that would be ground zero for Hillsong Church. This is a phenomenon that has really impacted Christianity. It is the fastest growing sect. It is a prosperity movement. It is a movement that uses music as its driving force to bring people in to their organization and to keep them there, because Christianity becomes very experiential, very emotions driven, and the music contributes to them, their feelings. They have got branches. I remember, okay, 20 years ago, when we were traveling around Europe with Living Waters to do Way of the Master, specifically a Protestant Reformation tour, we were in London and we were walking around talking to people. We ran into a Hare Krishna parade. That was fun and creepy, but it was interesting to watch it happen. And it was the chanting. It was like I was in Ephesus. They were just droning out a repetitive mantra. Do you remember that in Ephesus? I might be making more of this than I should, but hey, isn't that what preachers do these days anyway? When they were angry at Paul because he was compromising their financial stability, because people were starting to abandon Artemis, Diana worship, the temple, their trinket sales. Hey, we got to do something about this. So they stirred up the city. And what did people do? For 2 hours, they chanted, "Great is Diana, great is Artemis," over and over and over again. Why? Because repetition puts you into a bit of a mindless state. It was fascinating. There's a detail that's fascinating, too, in the book of Acts. It's not 17, but it's in that neighborhood. Anyway, in the book of Acts, it describes that these people are just chanting mindlessly and didn't even know why they were doing it. Hey, that sounds like a Hillsong service. And they are going to be even more famous because a new documentary is going to be presented on Discovery Plus. At the end of March, Hillsong, a megachurch exposed, is going to do what? Now, this is where it might surprise you, because it will explore the high-profile, star-studded church's alleged exploitation, abuse, and cover-ups. Okay, I'm sure that'll be interesting. I saw the trailer for this, and while I would say the people who shared their stories of how they were treated at Hillsong, a movement I by no means endorse, it's still accusations that are gathered together in a documentary form to besmirch the movement. I don't think that's the way to besmirch. I think it is by studying the theology and the teaching. And as far as abuses in the church or control or manipulation in the church or just bad behavior in the church, that needs to be taken care of in a court. That needs to be dealt with, where there can be some sort of arbiter to hear both sides of the story. Why do I share this? Why would I even sound like I might possibly be defending Hillsong? I'm not. But we need to be careful that we don't use people's stories. We'll call them anecdotes because we don't know if they're true or false, and there's always another side of the story. It can cause somebody to be tainted. Now, I have to confess I'm not all that concerned about Hillsong being tainted, but I am concerned that if this type of narrative continues, this could be done on your church. They can go find two disgruntled members, and you got yourself a news story on your local Fox station that talks about this terrible church and how these people were treated, and you'll be besmirched. It's just not the way we should be assessing these organizations. Now, if we hear about a scandal, something bad that happened in a place, we need to say, uh-oh, that's a bummer, because either it actually happened or the person is lying. Either way, you've got sin involved, but we don't render a verdict until it's adjudicated. We need to let there be some sort of investigation that takes place before we go, all right, it's definitive. Those people are terrible in that church. What definitely makes Hillsong a bad and dangerous movement? I don't know how they're treating people. I hope it's well, but it's their bad theology and their bad teaching. We will see when the documentary comes out. Jimmy!
You've got 30 seconds left.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
Oh, that's not why I was barking at you.
Oh, okay, okay.
Now, did that sound like I was defending Hillsong in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Okay, good. I've seen documentaries like this before, and it's like, yeah, they're like really salacious. Mm. Oh, this guy, they're going to be interviewing the woman that had an affair with Carl Lentz. Okay, I think it's terrible if that's what happened. I just don't know, and that would be a rogue pastor, but that doesn't mean that the entire movement is tainted. Now, we want to perhaps maintain that ground. Otherwise, we will lose that territory.
Okay, stop talking.
Do it. Documentary on us. All right. This is the story that I think should convict all of us right here.
All right.
No, that's not the one right there. What happened? Where'd you put the story? Here it is right here. I got you right here. A headline that really agitates me because the emphasis on black and white doesn't make me happy, but let's cover this story, and we're going to go full circle here, Jimmy. Black Americans are more certain than any other racial group that they're going to heaven. This was an evangelism explosion study of Americans' openness of talking about faith conducted by Lifeway Research in December of 2021. That's what got my attention, all right? If this is about evangelism, I'm interested. Only 37% of Americans are sure they will be with God in heaven, while 23% hope they get to heaven. 17% said no one can really know if they're going to heaven. What does this tell me? This tells me that people would like to know that there is an afterlife that is secure and safe. People know that eternity exists. It's written on our hearts. And they, therefore, according to Bob, the author of Hebrews, have a terror of death. And they don't know, and they're uncertain. And here we are putting on these extravagant productions with themes and marketing materials that stay in the tone of the presentation, and the colors on the stage match the posters that they printed and the emails that they sent out to do what? Amuse the masses. I don't think people want it anymore. I think we're living in a time where the good news is about when life gets rocky, God uses that to turn their attention to himself. The study showed that while a majority of Americans were open to talking with a friend or stranger about God, Have you been afraid to witness and to really speak truth? Maybe you've invited them to a silly center and they didn't hear anything resembling the truth. And they walked out going, really? This is it? This is what Christianity is about? Van Halen knockoffs? Really? They want answers. And we should be providing them for our people and for visitors in churches. And we shouldn't be afraid to witness to people. Nevertheless, even though a majority of Americans said we're open, 6 out of 10 say that many of their friends who claim to be Christians rarely talk about their faith. I'd like to say shame, 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 but Scott McConnell from Lifeway Research said it isn't really about religious liberty, people not wanting to hear, or religion being off limits. The reason conversations are not happening about the Christian faith is that Christians are not bringing it up. That is a tragedy. That should convict us and encourage us. We can't be afraid to share our faith anymore. We need to let our neighbors know. Here's why perhaps you've noticed we're different. This is what Jesus has done for us. The world should notice that we're not the same. We do act differently. We do treat one another better. We don't cancel. That should be some of the hallmarks, that we walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we were called, the unity of the body, showing them we're a peculiar people so that they ask about the hope that lies within us, and we actually tell them, and sometimes that means bringing it up. Don't wait. Don't delay because you think, oh, they won't talk to me. There's a chance they won't. The majority of Americans would like to hear, and the majority of evangelicals aren't speaking so that they can know that there is an afterlife that was bought by Jesus Christ. And if they'll repent and put their trust in him, they can know that they are going to heaven. Don't rely on silly centers and the church to do evangelism. That's our job. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.